We appreciate you sharing that with us, and I didn't think you'd be able to slide today after we heard that the other evening. We're so thankful for you folks that are here today to witness God's Word, and I hope that you bring your Bibles. I tell you, I like to see folks read their Bibles, and I don't know about you, but for 40-something years, almost 50, Denise has always packed my lunch bucket because I need to eat along the way. And y'all can tell she packs a good bucket. But, if I come to feast at the house of the Lord, I believe you'll bring your Bible, don't you? I believe you ought to carry your Bible. So I want to encourage you to come over there. And you say, well, which one you want me to bring? But I ain't but one. And you can see me after the church right there, and we'll show you which one it is. But I'm glad to tell you today that I know that I'm saved. How many of you folks can say that today, that I know that I'm saved? And what the devil will do in some denominations will say, well, you can fall from salvation. You can't lose nothing you never had. Amen? And I tell you, you can't lose something that ain't yours to begin with. Do you know that the Lord said that he imparted his salvation? See, you didn't earn it. You didn't do nothing to get it. It was imparted to you. It's on loan. The Lord loaned you salvation. I'm glad of that today. That means it's in his keeping. That means that it's his and not mine today. And but I'll tell you something today. If a devil has got a doubt in your mind about whether or not you're saved, then he'll handicap you throughout your Christian ministry. And the devil would have you not to believe that you're saved today. And you say, well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. I've got a message for you today. I'll tell you, there's people throughout this congregation will tell you that they lived for years with the idea that they were saved. And had they come to a rash reality one day that they had never, ever accepted Jesus Christ in the pre-pardon of sin. I'd hate to miss heaven today. Amen. Listen, I want you to bring to you today a message. Why we know that we're heaven bound. Why we know that we're heaven bound. I'm glad Brother Mike played that song a while ago because it speaks volume to those of us that know that we're looking forward to not only the Lord rapturing the church, not only the Lord coming back and redeeming us as a people, but he's going to set up here and we're going to vacate for 1,000 years. Then when they get a new place over there, this whole world's going to be, and we'll enter in into a new heaven and a new earth. Aren't you glad today that you know that you're heaven bound today? How many of you folks know that you're heaven bound? I tell you. Hey, listen, the Bible teaches us a no-so salvation, not a doubtful salvation, not one that you can have today and lose tomorrow. But God's Word, I want you to realize today, clearly teaches that a person can know that he's been saved. There should be no doubt about the most important question that you've ever been asked. See, there's nothing in the world that's more important than that question. Are you saved today? That's our eternal hope. That's where we'll spend eternity. And as we consider those things today, if you have a copy of God's Word in wood, I'd like to read two verses. 1 John chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 12 and 13, but I'd like for us to pay attention, if you would, to verse 13 of Little John, or 1 John. That's John right before the Revelator, Revelations. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. But I'm going to read 12 with it just because I like it. If you want to and able, don't you stand just for a moment. Stretch your legs. you might be here for a while. And as we read God's word together and then go to the Lord in prayer. Listen, I'm excited when I get to thinking about being heaven bound. But the Bible reads such as this in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13. The Bible reads such as this: He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. And he that haveth not the Son of God have not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may, look at that word. I want everybody to say that. Ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Fathers, we pray today as we go into this time that you would examine the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. And Lord, that you would enter in and place your hand upon them, Father, whether it be a convicting hand or a comforting hand today. But we might leave here knowing our standing before you, Father. We pray, Lord, that we would enter into that realm of peace which passes all understanding. And Father, have your will and way in these people today. For these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Beloved, you may be seated at this time. I want you to realize today, someone said many years ago that if you were bought before the Lord, would your life have enough evidence to convict you of being a Christian? Would your life itself have evidence enough to convict you as a child of God today? And I'm going to produce to you today evidence that we can know that we have eternal life. The first thing I'd like for us to look at, and you'll find scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. But we know by the evidence of the change. I want you to note today that if there was no change, there was no salvation. I want you to note today that if there was no change in a person's life, and there's not a difference in a person over there, then salvation did not take place. Why is that? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it said that Paul said that all things are passed away and all things become new. We know that we're saved by the new birth in Jesus Christ. No wonder in John chapter 3 over there, right before that beloved scripture of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There was a story behind that. It's that Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. And that Nicodemus came over there under the shadows of night. And he said, what must I do to be born again? Now, hey, listen, I'm glad today that we experience a new birth. Why is that? It's because we're a new creature in Jesus. We're a new creation over there. How many of you folks today are a new product in Jesus Christ today? Hey, listen, he made a difference in your life. And you know that you're not the same as you was before. Not only do we know by the evidence of the change, but we know it by the evidence of God's abiding Spirit. He lives. I know he lives, because he lives within my heart today. Aren't you glad today? Hey, listen, reach over there and say, I feel him right now. Hey, listen, I feel him right now. Consider the thousands who today give clear, positive testimony to the power that Christ transforms life. Hey, listen, he not only transforms life, but he moves in and takes up residency. Amen. He moves in and takes up residency. Hey, we know by the evidence of the abiding spirit. You know, when one is genuine saved, a new spirit is giving him. A new spirit is giving him. You know, the world has a spirit. Everybody has a spirit. Over there, you can read in the paper, some folks in the paper got real spirit. But God gives you a new spirit.
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you're living in the dispensation of grace where that we have an abiding, indwelling spirit that no other group of people known to mankind has ever experienced?
Amen.
You know, in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, he simply says, "And I will put a new spirit in you." By the way, you know, Ezekiel made the first heart transplant. He said over there that when a person gets saved over there, that he will take out his stony heart and replace it with a heart of love. And after he replaces it with a heart of love, he'll put a new spirit in you. Heard a fellow one time, after we're born again, the Spirit of God, he makes and abodes in the hearts and the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. You can know whether or not he's there or not. Hey, we notice the smallest things in the world, don't you? You know, you get a little bump on your ear or bump on your head and you get the feeling of it and everything. You think, well, that thing's as big as a wash pan. You go to the doctor and they have to get a microscope to see that thing that you thought was so big. But yet we don't know the Spirit lives within our hearts today. You know, the Spirit speaks expressly to you. That's why it's yours. That's why he gave it to you. He sent you a comforter. He sent you an aid. He sent you a teacher. And I'll tell you, if you've been saved, you'll talk back and forth. Amen. Amen. Listen. You know, I'll tell you about when I got saved over there. I was a borderline alcoholic. There was a lot of things messed up about me, and a lot of things wasn't right over there. But I'm going to tell you, if you got a problem with alcohol today, you know he'll slap the taste out of your mouth. He can take it away. Did you know over there that there was an old person that tried to come move back in, and we kept pushing him back out, and there's an old guy kept trying to come in, and we'd push him back out. And listen, the reason I know I saved, my want to's changed. People says, could you still drink after you got saved? Well, sure I can, but didn't want to. Amen. Are you with me just for a moment? That's that spirit that moves in, that creates with you a new creature in life over there. And thank God that I know that he lives within my heart today. You too should know that. Not only do we have the evidence of a change and the evidence of an abiding spirit, we know by reason of our faith that we're saved. When I say by reason of our faith, Paul cried out over there, if you will, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, Paul cried out this. He said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm happy to tell you today, by the authority of God, that there's a saving faith which is accepted in God's grace through Christ and his will today. Not only do we have a change, we have an abiding spirit, but we have by reason of faith that we know that we're saved. A lot of folks remember this, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reason why a lot of folks today don't have a faith to know that you're saved, you've not read the book. Amen. Hey, if you're this person over there who got saved and never crack a Bible, never go to church, never, no wonder you don't know you're saved. Why is that? You ain't read the book. What did I just read the beginning? These things that we know that we're saved. Not only will we be known by the change, the abiding spirit, the reason of faith, we'll be known by our acquaintance. Thousands today declare that Christ lives within their heart. That they know Jesus on a positive, personal, and definite basis. Listen. John chapter 17 and verse 3. I think I can quote it, but I haven't one of them moments. John 17 and verse 3 says this. And this is eternal life, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Beloved, I want you to note today that even Job, by the way, and chronologically, Job is the oldest Bible book in the Bible. It's the oldest transcripts that is known in the Bible. But even before Calvary, and even before what we know as the dispensation of grace, and even before that, I want to tell you today that Job knew that he was saved by his acquaintance with the Lord. The reason I know is because I know him. And the reason that I know him is because he knows me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of folks today that you might say, well, I know who you're talking about, but I don't know him. You hear that all the time? See, there's a lot of folks in Baptist church today, they know who we're talking about, but they don't know him. Now, to know someone is a two-way thing. He knows you, and you know him. Are you with me? See somebody's name in the paper, you say, well, I've heard of him. I don't know him, never met the man. A lot of folks there are trying to serve in Baptist churches over there. They're trying to serve somebody that they ain't heard about, they've seen pictures of, but they don't know the man. See, you know that you're saved by your acquaintance. The ancient book of Job, he said this. Poor old Job. Troubles, trials, heartache, pain. But he didn't lose the most important thing. What was the most important thing? The most important thing that you can have today is a blessed hope, amen. That you know, that you know, that you know. I mean, look around at some of us over here. We ain't got hope. We're getting long in the tooth. We ain't got a lot of time. By the laws of nature, short time. If you're very young, Bible says it's like a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Most important thing that you can have today is that acquaintance with Jesus Christ. See, it's not enough to know about him. You got to know him. Amen. And he's got to know you. I don't want to come up there and think that I've got a way in and I've never went and knocked on the door. I've never went in and supped with him. I don't want to go up there and him look at me and say, Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Sorry, what? I never knew you. Most of us can tell you the time. I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His wonderful grace. You say, what is that time? That's the day that I introduced myself to Him and He introduced Himself to me, and we've been walking together ever since then by His acquaintance. But what did Job say? For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Listen. And He shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, no doubts. How many of y'all believe the Lord's getting ready to come back?
Amen.
Who's He coming back for? Those He knows, amen. Those that's been saved by the grace of God. He's not coming back for the Baptist churches. He's not coming back for the Methodist churches. He's not coming back for the Catholic churches. He's not coming back for the Republican Party. He's not coming back for the... He's coming back for those that know Him. That is the church, by the way. That's the church. It ain't the Baptist, it's those that know Him. Not only do they know Him by the evidence of the change, and not only do they know Him by the evidence of the abiding Spirit, not only do they know Him by the reason of faith, not only do they know Him by acquaintance, we are known by the testimony of the Word. How many of y'all believe that this is the inspired Word of God written? Hey, this is the voice of God. Hey, this right here trumps everything that's ever been written. I want you to know over there that we know by the testimony of the Word. I'm glad that He wrote over there in John chapter 5 and verse 24. He said, verily, verily. Now, when you see them two words in God's Word, and He says, verily, verily, it means listen up, listen up. You're getting ready to hear something important. You're getting ready to hear something that's life-changing. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, listen at this, have everlasting life, and shall not come into the condemnation, but was passed from death unto life. I'm glad today that I avoided condemnation, but I have passed from life unto death. Hey, everybody in here can quote John chapter 3:16. Do you know what 17 and 18 says? Hey, listen, if you don't know what 17 and 18 says, then you don't know John 3:16. For He said over there, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because thou hast not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. By the testimony of the Word, we know that we're saved. We're not under condemnation, but we have been delivered of all the evidence of our salvation. Listen, faith in the Word of God is the most sure and trustworthy that we have. See, I can hold on to this, amen. I can go in there, and regardless of what's going on in my life, I can find it in here. But it's by knowing. We know that the Word of God is the testimony of Jesus Christ. A person who bases his faith on the Word of God is no doubt a true Christian. Now, you can call yourself anything you want to. But if your life is not in line and your life is not based upon the Word of God and the principles thereof, you're lost. It has to align with the Word of God. Why is that? Because we are found in the Word of God. We are saved through the Word of God. Not only do we not have the evidence of a change in the abiding spirit, we know that by reason of faith, and we know by our acquaintance and by the testimony of the Word. And I know a lot of folks may not agree with me, but that's all right. You got a right to be wrong today. We'll be known by our desire for Christian fellowship. I said we'll be known for our desire for Christian fellowship. Christians, and I'm going to tell you, I'm going to speak for myself. Charlie finds great joy in fellowshipping with other Christians. A real Christian will not forsake the house of God. I said a real Christian will not forsake the house of God, but will love the congregation of the righteousness. Will love the congregation of the righteousness. Now, I'm just here to tell you today, some of the meanest people that I've ever known in my life, I met at church. When they sang that old song, "Oh, when the saints go marching in," they're not all saints marching in, amen. I want you to know that today. So you need to know that before you go to church. That everything that sits in the pew is not saved. And everything that stands behind the pulpit's not called either, I'll tell you that. So I want to give you that forewarning, but a real Christian will embrace the fellowship of other Christians. Now, I know these kids are getting ready to go off to school, and I know every one of you have went through this because I did too. I tell you, parents don't change none. They just look different, and hairstyles change a little bit, but they're all the same. Don't you get with that wrong crowd. Is that what we tell them? My mama told me that. Her mama told her that, and her mama told her that. Don't you get with that wrong crowd. Well, I'm going to give mama a little bit of dose of reality over there. It's a world. They got to live it. And just as sure as we're sitting here today, they're going to interact with that wrong crowd. Amen. You might as well just get over it. I was the wrong crowd sometimes. Amen. You know what I'm saying. But I'll tell you something about a true Christian. He will embrace the fellowship of like-minded believers. He will embrace it. The Bible says not to forsake the assembling of yourself at the house of God. Not to forsake it. You know, I want you to let that sink in just for a moment. Let that sink in just for a moment. We know by our desire for Christian fellowship. See, our nature changed when we got saved. Amen. My desires change. I love being around other Christians. I love being around other Christians. Why is that? Because we think the same. We talk the same, and so we know that we're heaven bound when we have a desire to fellowship with other Christians. Last thing I'd like to find, we'll find it in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. The Bible reads in 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 5, 3 through 5. It says, "And hereby we know that we know him, hereby that we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keep not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Well, that's pretty plain, ain't it? "But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God," look at this word, "perfected. Hereby know that we are in him." Notice it said in him. Notice that just for a moment. We're not with him, we're in him. Now I want you to note that you're looking at the body of Christ. Amen. Turn around to the person next to you. If you've been saved, I'm looking at the body of Christ. That's why we're in him today. Look how profound this is. So simple. "And hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Listen. It's not talking about the Big Ten either. Amen. It can be the Big Ten. It's talking about right here. That's what his commandment is. That's what it is. Listen, if we keep his commandments, we know that we're saved. I want to tell you something right there, I'd hate to quit right on time. Y'all think there's something wrong with me. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in Clay County when the church is raptured? Why is that? Because all the people that are keeping his commandments, they're gone. The standard of law, the standard of morals will be out the window. Why is that? It's because people that are saved will keep his commandments. Not only will they keep it, that he said, "I know him and keepeth not his commandments," as a liar. Now, if you're from up north, it's liar. If you're down that, liar. "And the truth is not in him." These people that want to worship God on Sunday and want to go out here and live for the world on Monday over there, I'm going to tell you they're a liar and the truth is not in them. Why is that? Because they don't keep his commandments. See, we use that word backslid a lot as a crutch. Hey, listen, you can't lose something you never had. Amen. You can't slide down a hill you've never climbed. But I want you to realize today that the churches is full of lost people because they don't have a know-so salvation. Now, beloved, I've spent the best of my ability as a minister to present to you a case today that you can weigh yourself in and know that you're saved. Listen, our desire is to obey God, and it's evidence on those that's being saved. In other words, do I mess up? Why, sure I do. Do I make wrong decisions? Why, sure I do. Do I sin? Why, sure I do. But my desire is to do right. See, I do a lot of stupid stuff. Hey, man, anybody out there do any stupid stuff? I Did you have stupid kids like I had stupid kids? Yeah. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. Listen. But our desire is to keep His word. As a matter of fact, when I don't keep His word, I am heartbroken. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. If you can go out here and willfully sin, and it don't bother you, I can tell you right now, you're lost. You're lost. Why is that? It's because I know it and I have a desire to obey Christ. Because Christians love the Lord, they'll always have a desire to please Him. Hey, listen, and he that hath not my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. Listen, I won't end it there. I believe that's 14, John 14, 21. I believe. Hold on a minute. Before I mess that up. Yeah, here we are. Jesus is promising you and I that He's going to send us His Spirit. And He said this over there in John 14 and verse 21. He that hath not my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself in him. There's one that I didn't see last night. By the evidence of His manifestation in our lives today. You say, what's the manifestation of Christ in our life today? When they see me, they see Jesus. Amen. They see what He's doing in my life. And I'll tell you, sometimes you're the only Bible anybody ever reads. You're the only representative of Jesus that they'll ever know. And we need to manifest ourselves before the lost and dying today. Y'all come on and get a song. How many of you know that you're heaven bound? I asked that question at the beginning. Can you still say that? You know, we use that word so loosely. Are you saved? Oh, yes, I'm saved. My grandpa, he was a Baptist preacher. You know I'm saved. Oh, I'm saved. I'd hate to miss heaven today. I'd like to know that I'm heaven bound. I'll tell you the difference is this right here. I have one daughter, and I won't mention her name, but when we travel with them, she has an agenda. In other words, they got to know where we're going to stay. We're going to stay here 2 or 3 days. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And, you know, that's good to know. That's good to know. Now, when me and Denise go on a road trip, I pull out the driveway and I say, right or left? Because that's the only thing I need to know. See, God's got a plan. He's got an agenda. And I tell you, I'd like to know where I'm going to be 100 years from now, 1,000 years from now. If I should pass today, I'd want to know where I'm going to be tomorrow. If my last breath was here, I'd want to know where my first breath was over there. And listen, you can know that today. I've done the best that God's given me the ability that you can know today. If you don't know, this altar's for you today. Hey, there's people in this congregation today that can testify to the fact that they thought they were saved for a number of years. But come the reality, they had not tasted that sweet thing called salvation. Thank God they're saved. Everybody stand as we sing. Number 300. Y'all come on. Hey, listen. I know everyone in here who knows someone who's lost. You come on and pray for them that they might be saved. I guarantee you, everyone in here knows someone who needs the Lord today. We're going to ask that you come. Y'all just come on as we sing.